And our counsel for the first case here. First case is U.S. Cellular versus Waukesha County.
And please the court, and good morning. My name is Rodney Carter. I'm with the law firm of Davis and Kielfau in Milwaukee, and seated with me at counsel table is attorney Rebecca Roker from our firm. At the outset, I want to express my appreciation to the court for adjusting its schedule this morning. We were on a metro train that was on time, but unfortunately a train ahead of us stopped on the tracks and pushed us behind schedule. So we appreciate the court's accommodation this morning.
I have to give credit to Judge Sykes because she was on the prior train.
And verify then the...
My fault.
We're here representing United States Cellular Operating Company, more commonly known as U.S. Cellular. And U.S. Cellular provides cellular service to its customers. Important for this case and the discussion that we're going to have about the tower at issue is a little bit of background in how towers work and tower transmissions work, and that being towers work by microwave relay signals. And in this case, the tower that we're going to be talking about requires a line of sight to other microwave sites where signals are sent back and forth, and wireless calls can be made, and we can let folks like the court know if we're going to be late for oral argument or late to come sit on the bench. The tower that is at issue here is the ninth tower that was in the U.S. cellular network. It was put up in 1987 at a time in which U.S. cellular was assembling its network and sort of putting its sites together like a jigsaw puzzle, if you will.
So I have a question about the 1987 world. At that point, U.S. cellular, its predecessor, but we'll call it U.S. cellular, acquired a building permit from the town of Pewaukee.
Correct.
Does the record show what the regulatory structure of the county was at that time, or how the town and the county coordinated their respective regulatory interests?
It does not, but it would be our position that the town was an agent of the county, and the record is void of any evidence that...
That's not how municipal law works.
See, what I don't see is why it wasn't your burden, your predecessor's burden, to conduct research to see whatever regulatory requirements from whatever source were necessary. Seems like that's what people do.
Well, and the record is sort of absent in that regard.
And so just, we don't know if they looked and found nothing in Waukesha County, or that they just didn't bother to look. I mean, that's troublesome to me, because I guess I start with the proposition that if you want to build something, especially a giant cellular tower, if you were to build one tomorrow, if your clients were going to build one tomorrow, wouldn't you tell them to look and see who's regulating what?
I would. I would. And unfortunately, going back to 1987, we can't speculate as to what was done. And I guess, Justice Sykes, to bring back to your comment about that not being how municipal government works, maybe the word agent is taking something to a legal relationship, but we're talking about a subunit of government. And I guess my observation would be
that the town isn't a subunit of county government.
Well, the town is a subunit of state government. And there's nothing in the record that indicates that U.S. Cellular was referred by the town back to the county. Now, that doesn't necessarily condone...
There's no obligation for the town to do that. And the burden is yours as the plaintiff here. So to the extent that the transactional record from 1987 was significant to your claim, and I think it probably is, it's your burden to put in that record. And we don't have it.
And I would submit that there isn't a record.
So you can't base your claims on it. I have a sort of a predecessor question, which is just precisely what sort of claims are you asserting here?
Our primary claim is that the county should be stopped at this point from asserting its height limitation zoning ordinance.
That's a state common law claim?
Yes.
Equitable estoppel?
Yes.
And what's the state law on the ability to get equitable estoppel against a municipality, a municipality's enforcement of its zoning code?
I believe,
is that permissible under state law?
I believe that it is.
Are you familiar with the Willow Creek case that says it's not? That you can't get equitable estoppel against a municipality's enforcement of its zoning codes, except under very limited circumstances, which aren't here.
I'm not familiar with that case.
There, and that's based on a long line of Wisconsin Supreme Court cases that prohibit that sort of claim from being made on an offensive basis. In limited circumstances, you can get defensive equitable estoppel against a municipality, but it cannot be used offensively as an affirmative claim for relief.
I think, though, that our position is that the amount of time that passed, and particularly the fact that that zoning code changed midway through, is really why we're here, as opposed to if it were the same zoning code during the past years.
It changed in the, to the extent that it got more burdensome.
Was more stringent.
It was more stringent, but it did, at the time you put up your tower, prohibit the erection of a tower of this size.
Correct.
And you didn't seek a variance at the time in order to permit its construction. And the argument that you're making sounds very much like an argument for equitable estoppel, which is unavailable under Wisconsin law.
If the county had acted within that initial eight-year period that the tower was up to enforce its ordinance, U.S. Cellular could have evaluated either constructing the tower at the 142-foot height.
I hear you, but that's an estoppel claim, and Wisconsin law doesn't permit that against a municipality's enforcement of its zoning codes. Based on the Willow Creek case and a long line of Wisconsin Supreme Court cases.
Well, let me move on then to our other two arguments, aside from the estoppel argument. We had an argument under the Telecommunications Act relating to the USA Mobility tenant that's located on the tower, and the fact that if the tower is taken down, the USA Mobility tenant has indicated that it won't be able to provide cellular service to the county, or not cellular service, paging service to the county. So I think there you have a violation of the Telecom Act in that limiting the height of this tower is going to effectively limit the ability of one of the co-locators on the tower, USA Mobility, to perform paging services. And the testimony in the record shows that if those paging services can't be provided, paging services are going to be unavailable within the Metro Milwaukee
What's
area.
What's the evidentiary support for that?
This was my question, too, because if you're relying on this little exchange with Mr. Warden, I read that as simply he hadn't bothered to look around for any alternative location.
I don't think it was he didn't bother to look around. I think it was that the determination was made that USA Mobility wasn't in a position to take its antenna off the tower.
It doesn't say that, though. Do you know if USA Mobility has done anything to investigate alternative locations for the antennas? Warden, I don't know. And then a question, you haven't looked at alternative locations, whether a new tower site or co-location for your antennas that are on this tower. Warden, no, I have not. So,
But prior to that in the record, he indicates that there would not be another suitable location for the antennas. And I think if you make a determination...
I'm not persuaded, you know, that paging is a dinosaur technology or what have you. Paging is still very useful in some applications, particularly if you happen to work in a building that's more or less a Faraday cage. But it is the case that there's a burden to investigate alternatives before this part of the Telecommunications Act kicks in.
And I know the portion of the record that you're referring to, and I think if you look at his testimony immediately prior to that, he establishes that there wouldn't be an alternate location. So my read of that and my take on the record is, without an alternative location, and his estimation that there wasn't an alternative location, is the agent for USA Mobility, it's sort of a double negative for him to have to take a look around and locate an alternate site if none are available.
Well, how can he testify that there isn't one available if he hasn't looked?
I think, you know, there's... The conclusion would be that if there's not one available...
This is an entirely circular argument, counsel. He testified that he didn't do any investigation about alternative places to attach his antenna to.
But he also said there were no alternative locations.
And how does he know? I mean, usually people put in evidence into the record saying, you know, we talked to this real estate agent, or we talked to that company, or we hear some other towers that won't work for our... I mean, you know, there's something. Hang your hat on.
In this case, the directive, or his directive from USA Mobility, he wasn't asked to look and to do a diligent search to see if there were any available
sites to co-locate. That's just a failure of proof on your part.
Well, I think it's more an assumption that there were no available sites there.
You can't base a verdict on an assumption based on no investigation. The case law on this aspect of the Telecommunications Act is clear that, you know, unless there's been some effort to investigate alternatives, you haven't made out a cognizable prohibition claim under the Telecommunications Act, which is the basis of your claim here, that without this tower, this form of wireless service would be unavailable in Waukesha County, and you just haven't proved that. You don't have evidence of that.
I go back to the fact that if you believe that the sites aren't available...
That's just a, you know, inchoate belief based on no investigation. And he admitted he didn't do any investigations. So that's not going to get you very far.
But then
the other problem is, I mean, you make the assertion that this paging company is the only one that offers pager service in Waukesha County, and I find that highly implausible. Is there any evidentiary support for that?
Other than the representations in the record by the agent of the paging company, no.
Okay.
I mean, the
number of doctors and other professionals who routinely carry pagers in Waukesha County alone would suggest to me that there's more than one paging company that serves this area.
Other than the representation that was made at the agent to say no, and that's where we get the reference to the...
And he specifically testified that his company is the only one that provides paging service in all of Waukesha County?
I believe so, yes. I think that was where the dinosaur quote came in, that it's a dying industry.
You've dropped your discrimination claim, right? On appeal? That's the other basis under the Telecommunications Act that you sued, and that argument was made in the district court, but I didn't see an argument on that on appeal.
No, we've dropped that.
Okay.
Yes. And I see my lights on, so with permission, I'd reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, counsel.
Mr. Breathwaite? May it please the court. Good morning. I appreciate the time. From the questions so far, I think the court is pretty much looking at this case the way the district court did and the way that the county does. And
but I have a question for you about a more recent Wisconsin Supreme Court decision, Village of Hobart against Brown County. It doesn't shut the door all the way, as I read it, to equitable estoppel against government agencies, perhaps even zoning. What it says is we further recognize that we do not apply equitable estoppel as freely against governmental agencies as we do in the case of private persons. It's not a happy occasion when the government's hands, et cetera, are tied. and then it goes on, and then it finally says, this is particularly true in the context of zoning. So caution, yes. Absolute impossibility, Hobart suggests to me no. So is there room in this case? I mean, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has actually had a lot to say about this, as you know. And actually, even the concurring opinion in the Outagamie County Board of Adjustment case floats this theory, although I recognize it's just a concurring opinion.
I think it's correct that as a matter of, you know, intellectual exercise, it is conceptually possible to bring a claim under Wisconsin law against a municipality for estoppel to prevent application of a zoning ordinance. But as you note, I think it's a much higher standard, particularly when it's an offensive claim. And in this case, there's absolutely no record in, there's no evidence in the record to establish a factual basis for the estoppel claim.
But I guess the thing that troubles me about this, a number of things trouble me about this. First of all, 19 years really is a long time for something as obvious as this tower, which if you, as I did, you know, look at it on Google Earth or something, it's not a hidden kind of use. It's not like somebody's operating a business inside a house and you're not really sure what that business is. It's a gigantic tower. There's an extremely vague reference to, I believe, three pilot complaints. Mm-hmm. We don't know anything about what they said or who they were. I mean, you would never accept evidence like that in a court, certainly. And we don't know to what degree it's an inconvenience. So when the county sits by and tolerates it, one way of looking at it is that they're happy that there's good cell service in the area, and the airport is doing all right with these, let's say, specially tailored approaches near that particular runway. The FAA has signed off on it. I know that's not a permitting issue, but 19 years is a long time. There's a lot of reliance interest that builds up.
Yeah, I mean, certainly 19 years is a long time. I think there were a couple of things that were going on, and they're touched on a little bit in the record.
Why doesn't the county, for example, when they amend the ordinance to require 50-foot height, why don't they say something then? I mean, this is clearly a time when they're thinking about airport approaches. Here's this giant tower there. I mean, you would... They surely could have written the same kind of letter then, mm-hmm. and said, you know, we can't find it. And of course, at that time, it might have been easier to recreate the record at the time it was built than it is now. The passage of time is not exactly the same.
Yeah, I think that in terms of the county's actions, the 1995 amendment, as well as the current ordinance, would grandfather any prior conforming tower.
Right, and I'm saying the county passes this thing and say we want a 50-foot limit. Gee, here's this giant tower. You know, maybe we should see whether that is properly grandfathered in or not.
And, you know, it's difficult to speculate because we don't have the evidence in the record in terms of what the county knew or what the county thought. But I think it's reasonable from the record to interpolate that the county... See, what happened, I think U.S. Cellular may, we don't know what they did, but they may have believed that the tower was at a conforming height because the ground height of this, of the ground changed in terms of when they updated this around 2000. And so they may have, we don't know if they investigated, and it's very hard because we don't know what happened.
The ground height changed.
U.S. Cellular, the height of the ground that this tower is located on was originally believed to be at like 860 feet. And sometime in around 2000, in conjunction with what U.S. Cellular was doing with the FAA and permits, that was revised, and they learned that that was not correct. And that likely pushed the tower beyond the what would have been the original conforming height in 1987. But again, this is all speculation, and it's hard to, because we don't know. I mean, ultimately, the answer is we don't know.
No, I understand, but I guess the county's inattention to this, particularly, I mean, my focus is on the 1995 event, really puts U.S. Cellular at a terrible disadvantage to recreate the record as to what regulations existed, what efforts were made, people come and go, it was a predecessor company. They're really quite disadvantaged by the county's lassitude, and when the county suddenly comes along I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the county seems to have perfectly legitimate reasons for wanting a lower tower. I understand, you know, a little bit about 1,000-foot ceilings and instrumentation for improving the airport and so forth. But the question really is whether that goal can be achieved just by forcing all the loss to be borne by U.S. Cellular, whether there's some sharing of the burden.
Sure. And, you know, I think that a lot of it probably also has to do, and it's not as explicit as we'd like it to be in the record, but if you look at the testimony of the airport manager, Keith Marcano, and also the testimony of Gary Dickers from the State Bureau of Aeronautics, they talk about the evolution of the airport and the increase in commercial jet traffic. And so, again, it's the evidence isn't there, and we don't know why they didn't ask the county for a permit. We don't know why the county didn't discover it. But I think, based on that testimony, the only reasonable conclusion we can reach is that the county thought it was originally a conforming tower, and it didn't have an issue because the airport was in its infancy, and it didn't have the kind of commercial jets. They weren't trying to put in the precision approach they want to put in now.
All of those thoughts, though, if they hadn't reevaluated how many feet above sea level this is or whatever the reevaluation, if it had always been a 142-foot tower, the modernization of the airport would have had to proceed a different way, possibly by cutting a deal with U.S. Cellular to move the tower, to do two towers, to do, you know, all these other things everybody's talking about. But when the county gets to sleep for 19 years and then suddenly say, oh, actually, you've got to completely undo your entire area network, that's a big burden to put on somebody else. It's why people get grumpy about government. You know, all of a sudden, you know, here this cost is being imposed on private parties.
I understand. I think ultimately it does, though, come back to it was U.S. Cellular's responsibility to know the law, to investigate, to be aware of the county's ordinance, and to seek a permit from the county.
And the county's is the county ordinance that applied at the time this tower was built in this record?
I believe it is. Let me just check. It should be early reference in the statement of facts. It should be, I believe, included also in the, let me check the appellant's appendix. I think, let's see here. I don't see it specifically individually listed, but it may be in some of the Waukesha County documents, and I believe a copy of it was
We have the permit that the town gave them.
Correct.
Which may have made them think they were okay. Now, I agree, actually, with Judge Sykes. I mean, people need to research, and they've got to find out what it is they're supposed to do. The government doesn't have to run around after them, reminding them. But I'm just concerned about the degree of notice they had about the county's expectations.
Well, I think the way the district court, I guess, maybe resolved that issue was to focus more on the issue of the reasonableness of U.S. Cellular's reliance. And there's no evidence in the record one way or another to establish that their reliance was reasonable. So I think on that basis, their estoppel claim would fail regardless of the other issues.
Right. But I'm just going to tell you, hypothetically, I can imagine an ordinance that's worded in a way that people obtain clear notice of what's expected of them, and another ordinance that's worded in a way that nobody has any idea what they're supposed to do. And I don't know which one this one is.
And I guess to follow up on that point, I would think it's important that there's never been a claim in this case that there's anything improper about the ordinance or the method in which it was passed or the notice that was provided when it was, you know, passed prior to 87 or the amendment in 95. I mean, U.S. Cellular's never raised an issue about any impropriety relating to the ordinance itself. I wanted to address some of the things that were said with regard to Jack Warden's testimony regarding USA Mobility. And I think the court actually has a pretty good command of the record on that. And page 13 of our brief, the county's brief, has a pretty good rundown with citations to the record of all the things that he testified. And importantly, he testified that he had no knowledge of whether removal of the tower would impact the cover of other paging companies. So that's not in the record. That's found at pages 18 and 24 of his deposition, which is item 19 in the record.
That suggests that there's other service providers available in Waukesha County.
Indeed. Indeed it does. Also, he specifically even though he had not conducted an investigation and he had done no analysis or study other than the original evaluation back in 1993, at his deposition in this case, he was able, off the top of his head, to come up with a possible alternative location. And that's found at pages 31 and 32 of his testimony, also cited at the bottom of 13 on our brief. You know, similarly, there's been no testimony of any impact on any other wireless providers, and today you don't even hear U.S. Cellular make the claim that this would result in a impermissible gap in their coverage, because of course it would not. Their own engineer testified that they could fill the gap in their coverage better with two towers, and at the time that they actually showed up at the county's Board of Zoning Appeals, they hadn't done anything to investigate alternatives, and so they offered nothing in that regard. Estoppel, I think we've covered pretty well.
There isn't, on that estoppel argument, there isn't anything in the record to support the proposition that the county or its employees in any way misled U.S. Cellular into thinking that its tower was conforming, or even if non-conforming, was acceptable.
So this,
this isn't one of those forms of estoppel claims where there's some sort of active misrepresentation or miscommunication on the part of a municipal employee to the zoning applicant. There just was never any communication at all because they never applied for
and I
a
think
variance
that goes,
until, you know, 20 years later.
And that really falls right into the case of the Lake Drive Baptist Church, which is a much older decision regarding estoppel that plaintiffs rely heavily on. And in that case, there was a specific action by the municipality that led this church to believe that they could build a church, and they took action, and then the municipality reversed itself. So very different situation than what we have here.
In this whole line of Wisconsin cases that considered the viability of equitable estoppel in the zoning context, arose in the context of active misrepresentations or mistakes by representatives of the governmental entity. And even in those circumstances, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has never allowed such a claim. Is that a fair statement?
I believe that's correct. And I think they also have, I'll try to find the language, but they may even speak about a sort of higher evidentiary standard, you know, clear and convincing evidence, kind of what you would expect in a fraud claim. Discrimination. I'll retain the rest of my time if I can, and I thank the court.
You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. I just want to briefly touch on the issue of no misrepresentations by the county. And I think this is a situation where, given the nature of this tower, that it was an open and obvious fixture in the skyline, that the county had personnel out there who were monitoring the heights of these structures, that this was a situation where the county had the power to act, and by not acting, that in itself was not taking the communication or providing the wrong type of communication for all these years. As U.S. Cellular goes down this road and has entities co-locate on the tower. So I think
that would be an extraordinary extension of Wisconsin law if we were to accept that. And why should we do that on a state law claim that is piggybacking on a Telecommunications Act claim that's itself very weak?
By not doing that, though, you are allowing or you're sanctioning the county to have ordinances out there, have individuals whose job it is to enforce those ordinances, and it's fine if they don't.
Right, and you could have challenged that by certiorari in the state circuit court and taken it all the way up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court and tried to convince that court that its longstanding case law is wrong, rather than coming here and asking us to do it. Which is pretty extraordinary.
Well, I respectfully disagree. I think that
you weren't even aware of this line of cases, counsel, at the top of this argument.
Yeah, granted, neither party cited them in the briefs.
Right.
I agree. My point is, and I see my lights on again, that government taking no action in a case like this where it's such an open and obvious violation of the zoning code should fit within that that criteria. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement. And we move to the third case.